We began a message Sunday week ago on the subject of these in the believer. And what we're doing with this message is that we're comparing the BWS of the Judges 14 with the B commands of the New Testament. Be ye holy, be filled, be sober, be vigilant, and just a number of them. In fact, probably more than we'll ever get to deal with. But the Lord has spoke to our hearts about that. I believe God is able to still yet allow those bees of the New Testament to give us and produce honey in our soul. Let's read in Judges 14. The Bible says in verse 5, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared out against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. He took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." And we'll stop reading right there. I just wanted to read that passage because it does show us a scene of honeybees working and producing honey. And last week, Sunday week ago on the Sunday night service, we did go into Judges 14 and we laid out some principles here that should relate to us in our spiritual life. Amen. In other words, the honeybees are known to make honey. As far as we know, that's the only source on planet Earth to make honey, produce honey in your soul. Now, I did some research, quite a bit, in fact, but I've got more material probably than I've got time to deal with about honeybees. And you know, I found out as I was doing some research on the internet about honeybees that the New York Times, back in February of this year, wrote an article, a rather lengthy article, in fact, that deals with the subject of the bees, honeybees, are leaving America at an alarming rate. The honeybees are leaving America. Now keep in mind, the whole time I'm preaching about the bees, keep in mind that I'm also making a parallel to the B.E. Of the New Testament, the be filled, be holy, be separated, and so forth, found in the New Testament. And I want to say those bees are leaving. Those bees are leaving America as well. One farmer said in that article, he said, "I've never seen anything like it." He said, "Box after box after box are just empty. There's nobody at home." In other words, bees just gone, disappearing. And there's a lot of things that contribute to that. Poor nutrition, nothing to eat. Amen. No food, no honey. Bees don't eat. Bees are not fed. Bees not fed, they'll not be able to produce honey. So it is with the bees of the New Testament. Amen. Thank God you've got to feed them. They're not just going to work automatically. They've got to be fed and they've got to have nutrition. But we find out that that's one of the reasons they said that bees are simply leaving. Already 24 states in America reported a large number of bees that are just gone. Said some of them, what they do is they go out and search for food, pollen, nectar, and so forth, and they just never return. What? Ain't that something? And you remember the word swarm in Judges 14? It means congregation. So there's not just the applications here with a honeybee in our spiritual life personally. with the bees of the New Testament, but thank God there's some very good applications between a honeybee hive and a church. I believe there ought to be honey at the house of God. Amen? But it'll not come without workers. It's got to have the worker bees in action before there can be honey even in the hive. But they said another reason that those bees, they having to fly so far to look for food, that they die from exhaustion. Or else, the report said that not only they'll either die from exhaustion, or else they'll get caught by the cold. In other words, wintertime comes, and the only surviving of a wintertime for a honeybee is to be with all the other bees at the hive. Does that sound like church? Well, there's just, so much applications involved in this. And we're going to share some other things about this. You say, preacher, what's so important about honey? Well, the Bible talks about honey. When there was a description given for the land of Canaan, guess what it was described as? Land flowing with milk and honey. Amen? Honey was given as a description because it would interest people to want to go there. Amen. Pray for us as we're seemingly battling this drainage. Not only the land of Canaan, but the manna. When the manna was being described, you remember the manna, the bread from heaven, angel's food as it's called in the Word of God. Guess what it was described as? It was described as wafers made with honey. Amen. And then there's another description given in the Bible, and that is the Word of God. When the Bible was talking about the Word of God, saying that it was sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. So there's just a few things to show you that the Bible uses the term honey to elevate a description of something to magnify the value and the sweetness of something. The enjoyability, something that you can enjoy, something that will please you, in the Bible was described as honey. And the Canaan life will, which is the Spirit-filled life, the Word of God will, and thank God the manna, which is a type of Christ, the bread from heaven, those will satisfy you, and those will please you. But I believe the bees of the New Testament, thank God, will produce honey and sweetness in your heart. Amen. I believe that. But let me give you some other things here about the honeybees before we go on. I read an article, too, where that it said that growers tries to make it without bees. They tried to make it without bees. They tried to do the pollination without bees. They used helicopters. They used giant blowers. And it said they even used mortar shells, I don't know what all that was, to try to spread pollen across all of their plants and their crops. But you know what? They found out you can't beat the bee. Amen. Boy, I thought when I read that, how that growers tries to do without the bees, there's a lot of people that claim to be saved that are trying to go without the B-E-S of the New Testament. They're trying to go and use other alternatives to make it. But you can't beat the bees. Amen. God created them to do the job of pollination and germination. Amen. That's right, which leads to production. So, and here's what we found out in one of the articles that I read about. I know some of you are thinking, preacher, you must have a lot of time on your hand to be reading about bees. Well, it's got my interest, and I believe it's got yours. But I found out also about the bees that because them leaving at that alarming rate, and I've said already 24 states has reported large numbers of bees that's just gone. Because of that, there's not enough bees to go around. There's not enough bees to go around. Now listen to this. I never heard of this before. The bee growers rent their bees out all over America. They literally put all of their bees on tractor trailers, tens of billions of bees, and take them all around the country throughout the year, especially the spring and summer months, for the purpose of renting out their bees to pollinate people's crops. And boy, I thought about that, and of course, I'm looking at it trying to in a spiritual sense. I thought that's just exactly what's going on in a lot of churches. They don't want bees. They don't want to put up with the bees. They don't want to fool with all of the maintenance of bees. They just want the benefit of the bees. A lot of people, Brother Mike's not interested in being holy. They're not interested in being filled with the Spirit, but they sure like the benefit of others that do have the bees in their life. Oh, that's good. Amen? But because of the lack of bees and the lack of nutrition for the bees, farmers, bee growers, have resorted to man-made supplements. Lord help us. Do you see that spiritually? They are having to resort to man-made supplements of liquid mix of different syrups and so forth, literally bringing them in tanker-sized trucks costing $12,000 per load. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with it? That's just letting you know right there that when God's natural process is interrupted, that it's going to be costly. It also tells me that if you're going to have bees in your life, the bees of the New Testament, it's going to cost you. It's going to require a lot of work. It's going to require a lot of effort. Amen. In fact, there's nobody ever have bees that are not bee lovers. Amen. Amen. People don't have beehives sitting around in the yard for decoration. They like the bees, and they like the bees because of what the bees produce, which is honey. A lot of people don't have the bees of the New Testament because they don't love it, and they don't love what is produced thereby. But anyway, a lot of things we could say about that. Beekeepers have reported a high cost in keeping bees. They said that fuel and equipment and boxes have doubled and even tripled in price. In other words, they were saying to have bees is very costly. Brother, to have the bees of the New Testament that we're paralleling with and comparing with, it's going to be costly. But friend, we must pay the price. And I'm going to tell you why. A Cornell University study has emphasized or estimated that honeybees annually pollinate more than $14 billion worth of seed and crops in America. Sounds like they're pretty important. Sounds like they're pretty vital to the American way of life. If something happens to the honeybees in America, what's going to happen to our food chain? Well, I want to ask you spiritually, if we're losing the bees of the New Testament, what's going to happen to our Christianity? What's going to happen to our influence? Listen to this. The Vice President of American Beekeeping Federation said this, that every third bite that we consume in our American diet is dependent on the honeybee to pollinate that food. You say, preacher, that really makes it sound like that honeybees are very vital and very important to our existence and to our survival. So it is with the bees that I'm talking about or going to talk about in the New Testament. They're vital. They're vital. Amen. Without them, we're in a mess. Amen. Listen to this. And because of the lack of bees in America, because they're leaving, they're going somewhere, because of that, guess what? I'll just read it to you. Due to our country's lack of honey, which is a result of the lack of bees, other countries are sending their honey over here. Are you listening? It won't be too long till America, the good USA, the red, white, and the blue, my friend, will be the second largest Muslim country in the world. Are you listening? Are you listening, friend? I tell you, we're losing the bees. And as a result, other countries are benefiting from our loss. They're sending their false religions over here. We are quickly becoming a nation without borders. Anything can come. Anything can stay. And the only thing, listen, you get in trouble for now is being a Christian. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you to help build the message to show the importance of the honeybee concerning our lives physically. Amen? Amen. I thought that's pretty good. And you say, preacher, why do they make honey? Why does honeybees make honey? They make, listen to this. I read this. I said, praise God, that's good. Honeybees, they make honey. They feed on nectar and the honey because here's what it does. It provides energy for the bees' flight muscles. In other words, if they don't eat, they stay on the ground. They never rise higher. They never go anywhere. They just kind of stay on the ground. Well, I know a lot of believers that are grounded. They don't get to fly. They don't get to enjoy, my friend, freedom. They're bound to the ground. Amen. But here's another reason they make honey. For heating the hive in the winter. Have you heard that? I don't know if anybody's enjoying this, but I sure am. They make honey so that it will heat the hive during winter time. In other words, their survival of a winter experience must come through the honey. And here's why. Because honey has a very low freezing point. I done some research on it, and they said even if you were to use honey as a sweetener in like homemade ice cream, that you got to first put it in the freezer to lower its temperature or it won't never freeze. I know some of y'all are not seeing that. The bees of the New Testament will also produce honey in your soul and in your life and in our church that will enable us, thank God, to enjoy or endure a winter time, a time of coldness, a time of inactivity, a time of apparent deadness. Amen. So they fill their hive full of honey when they know winter time's coming. Them bees are working overtime, buddy, when they know that winter time is coming because they know that's the means of their survival. I know a lot of people, brother, they fool around with their spiritual life. They're not serious about their spiritual life as far as the bees of the New Testament. Amen. And then when a winter time comes, it catches them with no honey in their soul. My friend, and guess what? The winter time gets them. Amen. Amen, that's right. Well, there's a lot of things that we could say about it. But honey is very important, and it can only be made by honeybees. Man can't do it. Amen. And listen, you know, the hive is full of worker bees. Amen. If our church, and like I said, that word swarm means congregation. They're judges. So if our church is going to make honey and survive winter times and raise up young ones to be honeybees as well and workers, guess what? We're going to have a bunch of workers. Did you know honeybees are... Listen, I read this and I'm telling you, if it hadn't been like a documented source, I don't know if I'd have believed it. But it said that honeybees must tap over 2 million flowers to make 1 pound of honey. What if the honeybee said, it ain't worth it? It ain't worth it. Too much work, producing too little. They got to tap in over 2 million flowers to make 1 pound of honey. Listen to this. Flying, during that time, flying at a distance that would equal to more than 3 times around the world just to make 1 pound of honey. So next time you eat honey, you should say, thank God for them worker bees. Amen. And anytime we have honey at the house of God, you ought to know that somebody is paying the price. Somebody's praying. Somebody, my friend, is working. And brother, honey is produced. I like it, don't you? Sometimes, of course, there's a lot of things I got down here about honey. Honey is a natural sweetener. It's more than twice as sweet as table sugar, which is very bad for you. In fact, China, I believe it is, calls it white death. But we still eat it anyhow, don't we? Honey don't spoil. It has an indefinite shelf life. It pays to serve God. Amen? If you want your life to count, if you want your life to produce something that'll last, then get involved with the bees of the New Testament. Let them swarm in your soul. Praise God. That is more than one, more than two, more than three. Have a large number of those bees of the New Testament, and it'll produce sweetness and honey in your soul for the journey. And I found out also that honey can, of course I know this for a fact, honey can crystallize. Have you ever seen it? It's not ruined. A lot of people say, well, that honey's ruined. You know what you have to do, Brother Brooks, to take care of that? All you have to do is heat it up a little bit. Praise God, just put a little fire to it. Put a little heat to it. And thank God it'll melt right back to its natural form again. Sometimes we get crystallized, little hard places in our life. You know what? Praise God, get in a prayer closet, get in the Word, come to a preaching service. Thank God and get close to the fire, the heat of the altar, the heat of God. And brother, it'll liquefy and melt and bring back where we need to be. And what we need to be. Amen. Honey is organic. No additives. Man had put his 2 cents worth in on it. No additives. And it's easy on the stomach. Adapts to all cooking processes. In other words, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to let the bees of the New Testament produce in your life and in your heart. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday week ago, I wanted to introduce that to you. Sunday night week ago, we talked about the first bee that must be in your life if you're going to enjoy the honey of heaven in your soul and in our church. And the first one is found in Isaiah 45:22. Just reference it. And that is, the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. That's the first bee that must be in the hive. I refer to this bee as the queen bee. Amen. Brother Hickman told me there the other Sunday night after the service, he said they had went and found like swarms and set the the empty box there and underneath it, and through the process, you know, shake it and dig through the swarm and find the queen bee and put her at the opening of that box and guide her in there. And he said that all those other bees will run over themselves to get in there. You know why a lot of people have the problem with be sanctified, be holy, and be separated, and be filled with the Spirit, and be sober, and be vigilant, and be strong? Now, the reason they have a problem with that, they've never had the first queen bee to get in their life, which brings in all the other bees. Amen? Those other bees won't stay where the queen bee is not. Most pastors are killing themselves to try to get the church members to be holy when they don't even have the queen bee of salvation in their life. You can jot this down if you like. The queen bee is like salvation. In fact, that it, in this way, number one, she's the mother of all the other bees. No queen bee, no little bees. She's the mother. Salvation, praise God, is the producer of all the other bees that's supposed to be in your life. Amen. Be holy. Be sober. Be vigilant. On and on and on you could go. Not only is she the mother of all the rest of the bees, she's bigger than all the rest of the bees. Salvation is bigger, should be bigger than anything else in your life. And then it, not only is she the mother and bigger, but she's the leader of all the other bees. They follow her wherever she goes. Or let salvation be out in the front leading us in how that we live and how that we talk and the places we go. Amen. Amen. In other words, when she comes in, here's what she does, Brother Carol. When the queen bee, my friend, finds the place that she's going to make her home, make her hive, and produce honey, you know what she does? Surrounds herself with workers. Amen! She don't do it, but she surrounds herself with workers. We're not saved by works. Brother, works is attached to it. Works is produced by our salvation. Amen? Yes, sir. Well, I like that. But of course, you know, there are some bees in the hive that are not workers. You know what they're called? They're called drone bees. Don't even sound good, does it? They're called drone bees. And you know what I found out as I done just a little studying on drone bees? I hate to bore y'all with all this information. But I found out about drone bees is that they've got the looks of a bee, but they don't have all of the production of a bee. They're stingless, for one. Therefore, they offer no defense to the hive from intruders and invaders. They just buzz around and let everybody else do all the protecting. Oh, boy. I believe I've seen a bunch of them in church before. They want to be in the hive and they want to eat the honey, but brother, they don't want to do nothing. Drone bees are stingless. They offer no defense, and also they don't work. Amen. A lot of people wants to be saved. They want to be next to the queen bee, but they don't want to do nothing. The queen bee of salvation, then they don't want to help. They don't want to get involved. But I tell you what happens to them. They don't last. You ever wondered why there's so many people comes and goes in the average church? A lot of reasons. Could it be one of them? They're drone bees. They're not workers. And you know what happens to them? I read that the average time span for a drone bee is only 90 days. In other words, if you're in the hive, you're not going to make it long if you don't get with it. But here's what happens. The worker bees kills them. Well, actually, what they do, they don't actually do the death kill, but what they do is that they will cut their wings. And I've seen actual photographs on the internet where the worker bees, my friend, are taking the drone, stingless and workless bees, and my friend is pushing them out of the hive and off of the front down onto the ground. In other words, they're saying, hey, you don't work, you don't eat. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. Well, I like it myself, don't you? There's a lot of truth, boy, related to a honeybee, to the spiritual life of a believer, and to the spiritual condition of a church. Amen. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter real quickly. I want to deal with another bee. I don't really have time to deal with it all, but I want to at least begin. One thing about preaching maybe a series, you can just kindly unhook and hook back up. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16, let's read, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope," that is, be expectant, "hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As," notice it does not end with a period, so the thought proceeds, "as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy." Oh, I hear a buzzing of a bee. I hear the buzzing of a bee that'll produce honey in the believer's life and in a church. "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Well, there's a bee that a lot of people don't want in the hive. There's a bee that they don't want. They want the honey. They want what a bee can produce, but they don't want to go through the natural process, because it takes bees to produce honey. Amen. The Christian life, brother, is an enjoyable life. It doesn't have to be boring to you. It doesn't have to be an old dried up experience. Brother, your life can be filled with sweetness and enjoyable life. Amen. It's serving God. You can, but not without the bees. You can't have the honey without the honeybees. Well, here's the honeybee. First, we call the queen bee was the bee of salvation. Here is the bee of sanctification. The bee of sanctification. The Bible said in Leviticus 20 verse 7, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, we've already read right here in the text that we are told, "As He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And Peter wasn't referring to himself when he said, "For I am holy." God is doing the speaking here. God is the one that is saying that we need to be holy because He is holy. Amen. Now, in the first section of 1 Peter chapter, this first chapter of 1 Peter, let me just share this with you. I thought this was really good. The first section, the first portion of chapter 1, Peter is emphasizing our walking in hope. Our walking in hope, expectant of the Lord's return. But now, as he moves into the latter section of this chapter, he now moves from walking in hope to walking in holiness. And I want to say, dear friend, that you cannot read the Word of God, Old or New Testament, without knowing, one, God is holy, and number two, He expects that out of His children. Amen. We'll say more about that in a little bit. But you know, really, though Peter deals with hope and then holiness, those are not two separate subjects. In fact, they go together. And there's a verse in 1 John 3, in verse number 3, that puts both of them together in the same verse. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. Amen. A lot of people, dear friend, are not living right because they are not living in the light of the hope and expectancy of the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. But let's move on quickly. The root meaning, now I want you to listen to this. Yep, listen now. The root meaning behind the word from which we get the word holy in our King James Bible, the root meaning is simply to mean different. In other words, what is holy is different. Amen. I believe you could see there very easily that what is holy is different. Different from what? That which is unholy. Amen. Now listen to me. Pay attention, all right? A holy person is to be different. That's simple, isn't it? Now, in light of that, you shouldn't get mad when the preacher preaches biblical exposition on the subject of sanctification and separation. Holy people are to be different. Amen. If you're the same as those that are not saved, then it makes me wonder, are you saved? If you've got the same actions, the same appearance, the same attitudes, my friend, as those unbelievers, then guess what? Then it puts a question mark on whether you really are saved. Holy people are different. It's not that you're making efforts to be different. You've been made different. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away and behold, all things become new. Oh yes, friend. Listen. His life has a quality about it that is different. Praise God, salvation don't ruin you. Salvation elevates you to a higher lifestyle. It doesn't elevate you in pride, because we all know that we are what we are by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, salvation will pick you up out of the mire, put you, thank God, in the choir. Thank God, elevate your lifestyle. Before I got saved, listen, friend, before I got saved, I used to do all kinds of things. And I'm embarrassed and ashamed of all of them. But I was just doing the, I guess what I could say would be natural to the fallen, depraved nature of the flesh. Amen. That's right. It wasn't nothing, friend. It wasn't nothing for me to show up at the parties. It wasn't nothing for me to show up at the parties. It wasn't nothing, my friend, for me to be toting around in my vehicle when Mom and Daddy wasn't around, of course. It's a Miller lowlife. Bud Dummer. You know, and just different kinds of alcoholic beverages. But when I got saved, are you listening? But when I got saved by the grace of God, thank God, all of that left. You would have every reason to question my salvation if I was still drinking, wouldn't you? Nod your head like that right there. It won't fall off, I promise you. Amen. Wouldn't you have rights to question my salvation if I was still practicing, still doing some of the same things that I used to do, or as what is known among unbelievers to do? Amen. That's right. I said, that's right. Amen. I question, listen, I question anybody. Listen, I tell people all the time when I deal with people and they're drinking or whatever, I say, look, I tell you what you need. You don't need the AAA. You need the atonement. You need the blood. You need the Lord Jesus to save you, give you a new nature. Praise God. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. And when He does, thank God, all that alcohol will be gone. Evidently, there's a rabbit running right through there. I'm going to get it while it's going. We're off of bees now. We're killing rabbits. The only time that alcohol is to ever be consumed in a believer, my friend, is when it is under a medicinal purpose. When Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Now, think about that this week even. When Paul told Timothy to do that, listen, that is such a diluted fashion. It is known to be medicine before they ever put it in their mouth. Don't go buy a fifth or a bottle, amen, and drink half of it and say, well, I'm taking that for my headache. Was it sold for medicine? Has it been formulated as medicine? Do you know when you put it in your mouth that it is medicine? If it's not, then it's a beverage and it's sin. Amen. Preacher Rackley. Thank you, I will. I'm talking about holiness, brother. He'll make a difference in you. Now listen, it's not Rackleyology, and this is not RBT doctrine. This is Bible doctrine. I read it to you. You either like the Bible, agree with the Bible, or you don't. If the Word of God says right here from God's mouth to us that we are to be holy. Amen. That's right. I tell you what most churches are wanting. They're wanting a preacher that'll never preach on sin. That's the truth, amen. They don't want a preacher that'll name it. They don't care if you generalize it. They'll say, hey, sin will ruin your life and y'all need to stay away from sin. That won't offend nobody and that won't help nobody. Because most people don't even know what sin is, nohow. You can tell by the way they live, the way they talk. They don't have a clue. Brother, I tell you, preachers in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, John the Baptist, the name too, my friend, were preachers that would preach against sin. Name it. That's right. I want a preacher to preach against sin. If I was sitting in a church, I would want a man of God that loved me to the point and loved the Lord to the point that he was willing to preach against my sin. Because I want to be different. That's what being holy is to be different. Well, amen. That's right. I don't want to just hit that alcohol thing. I tell you, I used to dip and chew and smoke. I did. All that's gone. I used to go around immodest. I know I didn't have much to show, but I tell you what, I showed it. But all of that went when I got saved. I said, all of that went when I got saved. I had long hair when I got saved. Didn't hear the first message on it. Not the first. Not one preacher told me I ought to get a haircut, and I didn't know what the Bible said at that time about that doth not nature itself teach it for a man to have long shame for a man to have long hair. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. And I hadn't been saved for just a very short few days. Brother, the Holy Spirit began to put conviction in my heart about my hair, and I went and got my hair cut. You say, preacher, you're meddling. No, I'm just trying to illustrate. Thank God that when you get saved, the first thing God starts a work to do and will continue doing it till you die or till you go to heaven, my friend, is to make you holy. Now, the world don't like that. They don't like that word different. Say amen right there. Nod your head. They don't like that word different. They don't want you to be different. They don't care if you go to church. They don't care if you've been baptized. They don't care if you've even made a profession of faith, as long as you're not different. Their word is conform. God's word is transform. They want you to conform and imitate them. In fact, if you look, I was planning on dealing with it later, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning. That is, not conforming, not falling into the pattern, imitating yourselves according to the former lust. That is your old life before you met Jesus. Amen? Listen, he presents a lifestyle. The believer does, presents a lifestyle that is different from his past way of life. And it is also different from the practice of the world. Most people today that names the name of Christ or professes to know Jesus, they're not the least bit interested in separation They're interested in conformity. That's a truth, friend. For you crucify me, just look at this youth, just look at the average church youth group. Look at the young people today. Go to the mall. Let's look at the young people and tell me what are they interested in? Conforming to a church preached lifestyle, or are they conforming to a Hollywood produced lifestyle? No, I don't guess we ought to preach. We ought not to tighten her down too much. We ought not to tighten her down too much. Seeing that every 30 minutes in America, 685 kids become victims of broken homes, I don't think we ought to preach too hard. I don't think we ought to preach against sin. No, we need a little smooth, silky tongue preacher that don't preach against nothing. Whenever 30 minutes in America, 76 teenagers run away from home. Every 30 minutes. Every 30 minutes in America, 30 teens will attempt suicide. Every 30 minutes in America, 14 teen girls will give birth to illegitimate children. Now, I don't guess we ought to preach too much about separation and sanctification and holy living. I tell you why a lot of those statistics are like they are is because there's a bunch of hirelings in the pulpits of America that love the paycheck more than they love their people and won't preach against nothing. Amen. Every 30 minutes in America, 24 teens, girls will murder or abort a baby. Every 30 minutes in America, 685 teens will take drugs. Every 30 minutes in America, 60 teen girls will get pregnant. Every 30 minutes in America, 188 teens will get drunk. Yeah. I don't guess the preacher ought to say a whole lot about being holy, should he? Amen. Well, praise God. That's the truth, whether any of us likes it or not. That's the truth. God says we're to be holy. We're to be holy. The world wants you to be like them, because they get uncomfortable when you're different. Amen. Saved people are said to be light. Lost people are said to be darkness. And you know as well as I do, there is no fellowship between light and darkness. Amen. Now, y'all liked it a while ago when I was talking about the honey and honeybees and all that stuff, the information. Well, we're just talking about some of the bees in the New Testament that will produce honey in your soul. Those bees will be in your hive, in your heart, and at the house of God, if the queen bee of salvation is there. Amen. The queen bee is there. But anyway, that's right. Amen. Amen. I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to unhook right there, because I was going to begin breaking these verses down and showing you the three different aspects of holiness that is projected in these verses. And I don't want to get started just on one of them and have to unhook. It'd be better to just wait and deal with it all at one time as the Lord leads our heart. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet as the musicians come. Heavenly Father, I bow in Your presence today. And I thank You, Lord God. Lord, the fact that You have, Lord, it shared with my own heart that, Lord, there's honeybees, God, that can still produce honey in our soul as believers. And Lord, a lot of people today are so struggling, saved people struggling. And Lord, I believe that it all hinges upon our relationship to those bees in the New Testament that we'll let live in our life and let work in our life and produce honey and sweetness in our life, and pleasure in our life. Lord, I pray You help young people to know that the old bees of this world will not do that for their soul. Lord, the old bees of pleasure and the bees of popularity, the bees of prosperity, the bees of possessions, that's not what contents the soul. That's not what puts peace and sweetness, Lord, in the heart. Oh, a lot of people today thinks if I just had a bigger this and a better that, Lord, I'd be happy and I'd be more content. But that's not it. Lord, it all rides on our relationship with You. Whether we're allowing the bees of the New Testament to work in our heart. Lord, I ask You to stir our young people, Lord, to want to be holy. Stir our moms and dads that, Lord, want to be holy. Dear Father, not holier than Thou. Lord, not a self-righteous holiness, but a holiness, dear Father, that would be brought into the image of the very God that called us. Lord, we should want to desire that. We should want to desire to live a life that would reflect the Lord that saved us. And I pray that You'll take the message this morning and speak to us with it. Please deal with our heart individually and deal with our church collectively. Lord, about this truth of the bees in the believer. Father, help us now. May Your will be done. Maybe there's someone here today lost without God. And Lord, they're trying to find that pleasurable experience out there in the world. But Lord, I can tell them from experience, it will not be found. It will not be found in a pill or a potion or a drink. But Lord, it'll be found, Lord, in You. As people comes to You and gets saved by the grace of God, and their attitude will change towards sin. Lord, they'll love You and want to serve You and honor You. We pray that You'll take these messages and challenge our hearts with them. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.